Good morning, all. It is Thursday, July 28th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning wherever, however you are listening. Oh, gee, Loz, I bet it's cold in the likes of Orange, Oberon, Blaney this morning. You can feel the frost, so it was cold just driving in here. I reckon we're in for a brutal August. Morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Middo. Morning, everybody. I think you're right there. Jeez, it was cold this morning. Jumping into the car. But I think we are in for a cold couple of days, you know. But long as the rain stays away, we don't need any more rain. When the sun's out, it's quite beautiful.
Fine.
I was sitting in the backyard yesterday and just had the sun on my back, and I was like, "Ooh,
how was nice that is shirt this? Off?"
Shirt was off. I was trying to get some sun.
I love it
on the rig.
Did you ever go to a solarium?
Never.
Good.
Well, I don't need to go
to a
solarium. Give them a colour, but I mean, I think I'm gonna maybe just love the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, love the sun. I've missed the sun because of the weather. You know, I'm not a person that can go and sit in the sun on a beach for 6 hours, but I like when I haven't had any sun to be able to sit out the back, have a cup of tea, and just have that sun on my back. It was beautiful.
About 17 years ago, I was living in London with one of my best mates, and he's, you know, olive skin like yourself. He got that insecure about his skin colour after 8 months of London brutality. He started going to the solarium. Yeah,
no,
it was embarrassing.
Something I've never, ever done.
I gave it to him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Didn't
I
stop him,
imagine.
Though.
Well, yeah, well, everyone has their choices in life to make.
You know? See, whatever makes you happy.
Whatever floats your boat. But again, I've never been one to go and use the solarium. I've never had to. I've never felt the need, but I just love that sun on my back. It was beautiful.
Blocker in after 7 o'clock this morning to preview round 20 in the NRL. Gee, I love this time of the year, though, Loz, footy-wise. You got Origin out of the way, and this is, for me, this is season on. Season on, and we've got some, again, a couple of games of huge consequence, particularly tonight. Been well documented what's occurred there, Manly and the Roosters tonight, but the other games, Parramatta and Penrith. I mean, just a huge game, particularly for Parramatta tomorrow night, who all of a sudden, if they lose this, they could have teams breathing down their neck even for top eight positions. So also Cronulla and Souths. What a game that's going to be. 5:30 at Shark Park with Souths on an absolute roll. Cronulla trying to just shore up their top four position. So those two games in particular, even the Dragons, a big game for them at Cogra, the 4 o'clock game against the Cowboys coming off that very controversial win last week. So despite all that's been going on off the field, really looking forward to desperate teams playing this weekend.
Well, I think we are, Mido, because, you know, there's 11 teams that possibly still could play finals football, and we're unsure of the makeup of the top eight at this stage. There's 6 games to go, and there's some cracking games this weekend, and it starts tonight. I mean, both these teams are desperate for the 2 points. The Roosters have had a smooth preparation compared to Manly. Manly, you know, are under the pump. They've copped some criticism this week. We know the situation with 7 players being stood down or standing down, not being available for selection. So that's going to make it difficult for Manly to win, but this could be one of their greatest ever victories if they're able to pull that off tonight. You've got the Melbourne Storm, who aren't travelling great. They've got to travel over to New Zealand. That won't be an easy task as well. We saw what the Warriors were able to do a couple of weeks ago.
They've been playing all right the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they have. They've been decent.
And just can't put 80 minutes together.
But going back home too, you can't understate that, because they get in front of 20, 30,000, Mount Smart Stadium. It'll be a great celebration of rugby league for them. Welcome the team home again, which they did a couple of weeks ago. They generate huge support. And if they get on a bit of a roll and get in front, it's not going to be an easy game for Melbourne. And then we back it up with the Battle of the West, Penrith and Parramatta. Parramatta going to win. This is their best chance, because I know they're not playing well, but there's no Jerome Luai, there's no Stephen Crichton. They're two massive strike players out. So this, for me, will be a tight game. I think Parramatta, if they play their best, they can win. They're nowhere near their best at the moment, but they've got to get back to being powerful and physical and really challenge Penrith. The Raiders, you know, they started slow last weekend. Got to travel up to the Gold Coast. Justin Holbrook's under pressure. The players are rallying around him. So that won't be an easy game for Canberra. And then, of course, you've got the Sharks and the Rabbitohs. That'll be a massive contest. The Sharks without Dale Finucane, who received a two-week suspension earlier this week. And South, we know what they've been able to do the last month. They've won four weeks in a row now. Latrell Mitchell's back. They just look a different outfit. Broncos are playing superb football. They're playing really well at the moment. The Tigers coming off the back of that loss. How will they handle all the talk about what's happened after that game, you know, the challenges in court, all the things that have been discussed, whether they can put that aside and focus in on the Broncos. Newcastle, under pressure, they're taking on the Dogs. And then, of course, you've got Dragons and the Cowboys to round out round 20. Cowboys, a bit flat last weekend. Dragons playing for their life. So that'll be no easy game for the Cowboys.
I think there's two teams over the odds, just looking at the markets we'd tab this weekend. The Warriors are $4.30 against Melbourne. And, you know, you make the case going back and playing at Mount Smart Stadium against a Storm side, which, let's face it, is struggling at the moment. I probably won't have the kahunas to back them head-to-head, but they're plus 13.5 at the line. 13.5 at Mount Smart Stadium. And the other game, I think the Dragons are a sneaky again against the Cowboys at Cogra, 4 o'clock Sunday. They're $3.10. The Dragons, that one I would be tempted to go head-to-head.
Well, I'm tempted to... There's a couple of teams there with big prices this weekend. I think you're right with the Dragons, but I also think Parramatta at 325. Penrith, we know they've only lost one game all year, but that's good value. Mm. Over $3 against a team that's beaten them this season. They're back at home, and Penrith are weakened. So, if Parramatta are ever going to win, when they've been struggling, this will bring the best out in them, I believe. And at that price, I think it's good. I think that's a very, very attractive price.
$3.35 they are. The Eels, $1.33 the Panthers. And, well, something that's certainly been proven in the last 12, 18 months is the Eels do worry the Panthers. You go back to that semi, well, the last two games, the margin's been 2 points. The game earlier this year. I remember we were in Wagga, actually. We were at the William Farrah on Wagga Cup night.
Jeez.
Having a look up on the screen, I think we were all over it, Loz, obviously, at the time. Just had a couple of white wine spritzes that afternoon. And obviously that semi-final last year, 8-6, where really Parramatta could have won that game. So, yeah, when you look at those two results and you're getting $3.35 for the Eels, you're talking me into it. I probably feel better about the other two I mentioned just due to the fact, you know, Penrith will certainly be burnt by the fact they did lose to them at home earlier this season. And now that those, no Luan, no Crichton, though. Got to take that into consideration.
Yeah. For me, Parramatta, I have to give them a chance. I have to give them a chance against Penrith. I know they're not playing great. We'll learn a lot about them this weekend, whether they're all in or they're all out. I still think they can, you know, win finals and possibly make a grand final. And, they're a long way from winning a grand final with the way they're playing at the moment. But, again, I just keep going back to what they did earlier in the season, and that was they beat Penrith and they beat the Melbourne Storm. And both those teams were flying at that stage in their preparation. It wasn't as though they were inconsistent. They were playing really good football. And they knocked them off.
Well, it's still on the front pages of the papers and the Telegraph today. Ban from Brookie on the front page. Club tells the Manly Seven to stay away from match. So those seven players who stood down from wearing the jersey tonight, the Pride jersey, won't be there for security reasons. And, Andrew Johnson, his column in the Sydney Morning Herald today as well, under the headline, Sea Eagles Can't Win and There Will Be Unrest in Playing Ranks, says exactly that. He says there would be unrest among the players. I said this when it first came out, Loz, and I just can't help but feel. And I know that mentalities are different from 23-year-olds from when, you know, you were 23, but, you know, I love playing footy as well, and I think, yourself, you're one of the great competitors ever. And the fact that you got your season on the line tonight, regardless of the issues, I'm taking the issues out of this. I mean, if I had teammates not there next to me tonight when I really needed them, I'd be filthy. I'd be filthy.
Yeah, but you know, you also got to respect their wishes. I know what you're saying, and I know as a teammate, yes, you want them out there with you, and you're disappointed that they're not playing. All right, take the reason out of it. You're disappointed that they're not there because you want to play football and you want to play finals football. But I think we have come a long way in understanding about people's beliefs and how people are completely different to what a group of footy players would have been 20 years ago when I was playing, 30 years ago, what the discussions would have been like. I think players these days are more open and honest as a group, and they're more heartfelt with things that they discuss than we ever were. You know, if you were talking about this 30 years ago, the narrative would be quite different, I think, in a dressing shed. But I think players these days are more aware, they're more educated, they have their beliefs, and people respect that. Now, that's not to say they're going to be disappointed that they're not there, but I can't tell you how it's going to play out. Unless you're inside that Manly dressing shed, I don't know. There'd be players there that would have empathy for these players. There'd be other players there, possibly filthy with them, because their beliefs are quite different to you and I, or they're different to those seven that have pulled out of this game. So I'm unsure of what it's going to do for the footy club. All I know with football clubs is that when you win, it's a good vibe all round. But if you lose and you've got issues in your club, there can be a massive divide.
Well, Daly Cherry Evans and Des Hasler, as they would, said that there's no, you know, division in the playing group over this, that they're united. Andrew John says otherwise in the paper, well, just says that, you know, there would be unrest among the players.
Well, when I heard Des's speech, Des was very open, honest, he was emotional, and he's a player's coach. Des is a player's coach, so if anyone can bring people together, it will be Des. You know, the player coaches, the Tim Sheens, the Bellamy's, the Bennett's, those type of coaches can bring a group together and get them to believe, play for one another, put differences aside, understand each other's point of view, but at the end of the day, move on, and it's about playing football. That's what you're there to do. That's what you're employed to do. If it was a young rookie coach, it might be a different thing, because you know he might know how to handle it. But these coaches, those experienced ones, I think they're well versed in knowing how to bring people together, how to push people around, you know, in terms of pushing their buttons to get them to feel good, embrace other people's ideologies, and well, they don't have to support them or support their ideologies. They can support them as people and the common goal of being able to go out there and play football.
They are lucky they have one of those elder statesman-like coaches in Des Hasler in this situation. I'd take your point there, definitely.
Well, it's like, you know, sitting down and have a conversation with your father when you're young. You know, you might be miles apart, but you have that respect there. You know, and sometimes when your father tells you to do something, you don't always agree. But you know what? Deep down, they're right. And maybe a year or two later, you sit back and reflect and you go, yeah, he was right what he said. Mm-hmm. You know, but Des has faced all challenges. One thing he's always been able to do is rally the troops, get people to play and put in a good performance. And, you know, they might be able to do that tonight. It'll be a big ask. It'll be a big ask without those players, though.
On the text line, Brad from Broadbeach. Morning, if Manly put in a Queensland State of Origin performance tonight and win, will that make it hard to replace any of the team next week by the seven who stood down? Hypothetical, I know, but interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, Loz mentioned, it would be one of the greatest wins in Manly's history if they can win tonight. And on the back page of the telly, some great individual stories. Do it for Bozo. On the back page, Zach helps Manly find a silver tail lining, and if he plays Zach Fulton, it'll be the first time in NRL history three generations of the same family had played first grade at the same club. Scotty's father, and of course the great Bob Bozo Fulton, his grandfather. And in the Herald, it points out the Kings, Johnny King, who was named in the Dragons team of the century the other day, the Mullanes, Bradstreets have all done it as well from three or more generations. I think the Kings, four generations, but at different clubs.
Oh, it's an amazing achievement. And Yang Zach deserves everything because, you know, it would have been hard for him coming through, everyone knowing who his grandfather was. Bozo is the greatest Manly player. He's been called into the team. They've been pulled apart. Gets a great opportunity to go out there and play with his mates. And all he ever wanted to do, I suppose, was run out there on Brookvale Oval. And there'll be a tear in the house tonight because Bozo won't be there. Bozo would have loved to have seen his grandson run out there on Brookvale Oval. But there'll be plenty of people there supporting him, wanting him to do well.
And also Joey, in his column in the Sydney Morning Herald today, under the headline, Bring Back Two Refs, says exactly that. It's time to bring back the pocket referee. And in the wake of the fiasco at the end of the Tigers-Cowboys game, also says that, well, the bunker should only be looking at try-scoring situations. Now, I've got to say, I agree with him on both counts, Lods. I think now we've got to the point, especially with the bunker. I mean, stopping play so often during games, it's just got to the point of ridiculousness.
I think I've been talking about stoppages for 2 years, but 3 years.
Is this the way to go then? Just make it for try-scoring situations? Should we be stopping play during the game? And having two referees, you hope, can offset that, the need for stopping.
It's like anything. Unless you've seen it operate, you are unsure of what the outcome will be. It's like when we had two referees, everyone wanted to go back to one referee. So we go back to one referee and everyone said how good it was. Now we're talking about going back to two referees. It's like making a rule change. You make a rule change and you just don't know what the flow on effect is. You take the bunker out of the game, we're all blowing up about stoppages. And if we continually make mistakes as a game and the referee continually makes a mistake, you'd be calling for the bunker to be back in play. I don't think we're ever going to have a perfect game. We have to accept that. Yeah. I can't see us going away from the bunker. Ideally, that's what you want it there for, just to check on try-scoring plays. But if there's something that happens in the lead-up to a try and we haven't gone back and used the bunker, there'll be an outcry. We can't please everybody. And I don't know whether it's because we want everything to be right and every decision to be scrutinised and every decision to be ticked off on, and we want a perfect game. Well, we're not going to get a perfect game. Mm. And whatever system we go to, the officials will always be under the pump. And whatever you've got someone in charge, a person in charge, they're going to make mistakes.
Big story in cricket on the back page of the Australian as well, Gilly. That's Adam Gilchrist. CA letting Warner play in UAE is commercial suicide. So yesterday, the reports came that David Warner is set to snub the Big Bash to play in this new UAE T20 league, which will be run over, and it's an inaugural league. Well, its inaugural season is coming. It's set to run over the back half of the Big Bash at the same time. And, of course, now that South Africa have pulled out of these one-day internationals in January, that's opened the door for Australian players to potentially go and play in the Big Bash or even these new leagues. Cricket Australia only has themselves to blame here, Loz. They firstly haven't overturned the leadership ban, which I think when you overturn Steve Smith's leadership ban, don't you also overturn David Warner's? So there's that.
Well, there's only one way in my mind how they're going to be able to keep all these players here in Australia, because they won't be able to compete financially with these other leagues.
Well, the highest paid Big Bash players on $340,000. That doesn't compete.
Well, that's my point. So what they'll have to do, is my belief, that they'll have to open it up for these franchise owners over there in India that are buying these franchises in other competitions around the world. They're going to have to allow them to buy teams here in Australia.
Exactly what Pup's been saying.
That's the only way you're going to be able to compete, because they will have the money. If you look at both competitions now and you've got the ability to earn $700,000 to $1 million, or you've got the capacity to earn $300,000 for the same thing, for the same amount of time, you know where the players are going.
And you don't, I don't blame David Warner one bit. by the way. If he wants to go and play in this UAE league, what does he owe the Big Bash? Zero.
Well, he hasn't played in the Big Bash.
For a decade.
For a decade. Mm. That's exactly right. So, look, I look at it and I just say that they need to go down that private ownership path, because otherwise their players, the Australian players, will be playing in other competitions around the world, and the BBL here in Australia won't have the pizzazz that they're looking for.
My real worry here is that Cricket Australia will try and tie Big Bash availability to national contracts, which will get the players offside. I bet you they try and do that. And you know what that's going to result in? You're going to see some of those big international players retire early
and go,
because they can get more money elsewhere. Well, so Australia can't do that.
No,
they
you're getting $3 million like Pat Cummins is at the moment, and they say, well, we want you, Pat, to come and play in our competitions around the world. If it got to that, to brush the BBL, but we want you to play in these other franchises, and we're going to give you another $3 million. So your contract all up is $6 million. What a Cricket Australia say then? You can still pick Pat for test matches, and you just get him another six to play in these tournaments around the world. So they won't be playing hardball with these players because they can't. Because financially they won't be able to compete. And you'll have players walking away. Mm. Saying, well, you know what? I'll go and play this shorter form game. I'll be able to play longer. It'll give me more longevity. I'll earn a lot more money than I'm earning at the moment. So be it.
We've got Josh Reynolds coming up shortly. Steve Blocker-Roach after 7 o'clock to preview round 20 in the NRL, bringing the energies he does. By the way, Loz, the Block gets the full 3.5 hours with us tomorrow.
The Block is in all day.
All day Friday.
Oh, geez.
Can he maintain the level of energy for 3.5 hours?
Well, how was he last time?
Well, I think he was fine, but I think he collapsed in a heap at 9:01.
Right. Oh, you weren't on. It was when we were away. Yeah. Ah, right.
Well,
yes.
I think you told me. You said, there's no way I could do a full
week. No, well, he told me. I said, Block, you know what? When Pup goes away, there's a few more time slots that you can put your hand up for. And he went, I love you. But he said, I just can't do it. He said, I just can't do it. He said, I got a bit tired. And that was only for one day. So the Blocker, no, he'll be full of energy today. I know that. And tomorrow. Looking forward to having him on for the whole show. Big Blocker. You get some random ideas. That's what I love about Block.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask him today how he'll be feeling at about, I don't know, 7:30 tonight. Because you know what's happening tonight? It's the last episode of Neighbours.
Oh, Block's a Neighbours fan.
I don't know. I'm going to ask him.
Okay. Well, we know our Bulldogs are big home and away fan.
Yeah. But there'll be a lot of people that'll be sad tomorrow morning.
Night.
It is an emotional night. I think Jason and Kylie make a return to the screen.
Wow.
Ramsey Street. So look out. We could be talking Neighbours.
Might have to put it on.
I'm going to have a bit of a sticky beak.
By the way, last night on Fox League, I stumbled across The Fan. And Lara Pitt was interviewing Latrell Mitchell, just asking him quite a lot of random questions about his career, see if he remembered. He asked Latrell, do you remember your first sin bin? She asked Latrell.
Yeah.
Latrell goes, oh yeah, against the Bulldogs. And he was playing for the Roosters, obviously. Have one guess who milked it to ensure that Latrell Mitchell got 10 minutes in the sin bin.
Well, I think I know now that you've said that. But can I ask, before I name this person, what was the scenario?
Oh, so Latrell it was Josh took the ball in and was tackled by Latrell and sort of cuddled the ball into Latrell to make it look like that Latrell was holding on for too long.
Ah, right.
But Josh sort of nursed the ball into him and sort of forced. And the second the referee blew the penalty, Josh is pointing straight at the sideline. Straight at the sideline.
Oh, fair enough.
And sure enough, the referee.
He fell for it.
Fell for it. 10 in the bin, Latrell.
I wonder how many people have fallen for Joshy Reynolds trying to get away with stuff. The old innocent look. It wasn't me, sir. Mm. It was somebody else.
Hello, Josh.
Hello, Mido. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. Yeah. Do you remember that? Just doing a number on Latrell and seeing him walk to the sideline?
Well, you know, I will say one thing before I answer your question, Mido. This is 2 weeks in a row I've copped an absolute onslaught as soon as I've come on the show. And I don't necessarily like it, mate. So, but look, to answer your question, mate, if you actually watch the clip, I had the upper hand because I made a little bit of a break. So really, I was just trying to play the ball, as you do, if you make a bit of a line break.
He was holding on.
Yeah. It was all over me, you know. And as you said, you know, I have that innocent face, Loz, and my mum says it, mate. Butter wouldn't melt in your mouth.
How many refs you reckon you conned over your time, Joshy? Like, you would have conned plenty. Any particular, the ones that you've conned to send another person to a sin bin?
I'm not sure if you remember this one, but it was, I'm not sure of the exact year, but there was a night at Brookvale. It was actually just before I got picked for Origin, I think, Loz. Yeah. I think I've told the story before about Chock Watmau when he was a bit iffy at the start of camp. And it was because it was a few weeks before we played at Brookvale and it was in Golden Point. And I just got tugged on the leg. It was a pretty dangerous tug, you know, mate. I flipped over and got the penalty. But, you know, all the Manly fans and Manly players said I'd done a bit of a forward roll. So
it was funny, though, because he was a bit serious when you come into camp, old Chockey, wasn't he?
I honestly felt really awkward. Like, I was really excited, you know, got all my gear and this and that. And I went to shake his hand and I don't think we're even on a shaking hand basis just yet. I had to earn his respect because, you know, Manly, we had a bit of a rivalry there with Manly and Dez. But hey, it's we won the game, so that's all that matters in the end. So
I'm YouTube Josh trying to find it. Just some of the stuff that comes up. Josh Reynolds versus Innocent Chair. Yeah.
There'd be some pest behaviour on there.
I think, you know what, at the start of my career, I reckon they gave me the benefit of the doubt, the refs. They were like, you know what, he's a young kid coming through trying to win penalties for his team. But then after that, a couple of years in, they've gone, every time I'd go to say something, they'd say, Josh, no. That's all I got. So
we're just looking at you walking in the dressing shed, just at Ling Park, just kicking at you.
Yeah, but see, I don't like that, Loz, because that's another Queensland thing. You're not meant to show me when I go into the sheds. You know, I don't want everyone to see me absolutely flogging a chair. But I remember there was another. I remember I'm walking in. The worst bit was I got 10, and I had to walk from the bottom end of Suncorp. So, mate, I got absolutely sprayed. Probably the most sprayed I've ever been in my career. Get into the shed, I'm fuming. Do the chair kick. And then I hear another cheer and I'm like, oh, what's happened here? They've scored. But everyone was just cheering me kicking the chair.
Well, so we've just pulled up this,
we found it,
incident in Manly. What about your jump, your leap? So basically they've got one leg Stewart off the ground and then the other leg that's on the ground. You've springboarded with that and then rolled over as if you've been dumped on your head.
Yeah, you really accentuated. Glenn Stewart's lifted you by the leg and you have jumped and done almost a somersault.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, you know, I don't think you boys understand how strong Glenn Stewart is. He gave me a big jolt and I just banged and tumbled in the front and, you know, Trent Hockenson, the Iceman, just nailed it from there and that was it. I was never allowed in Manly again.
Mate, that's unbelievable, Joshy.
Honestly, that game, they didn't shake my hand. None of them. None of them, mate. Like, Matt Eye. And then after that, every single game, they were just coming after me. Matt Eye would jam from centre and try and get me on the other side of the field. Just to try and kill me. But, hey, all in good fun, boys.
Exactly right. Now, talking of Manly, what have you made of the jersey situation? I'm sure it would have made a lot of news over there.
Yeah, it has, Loz. The sad thing of it all is it's taken away from, you know, the round. It's obviously, you know, women in league round, which is a massive round for all the women in league. And, you know, like a little thing I know, like my mum loves it because she just, I think they feel, you know, all the mothers and that drop us to the games and do their little part through our whole career and our whole lives as kids. It's, you know, I suppose just a thank you for all that. And
I feel appreciated.
Well, it is. It's, and you know what? It's not necessarily aimed directly at my mum, but I just know every time it has been, she's like, this is really nice, you know. And, you know, a couple of times the NRL have, you know, got the mothers in for, you know, morning teas and things like that. So, you know, that, it's sort of taken away from that. And then there's the Gotcha for Life Cup that they were playing for, which is a, you know, all about suicide prevention. And, you know, I think for me, I think Manly as a club, they had all the right intentions. You know, trying to do the right thing. And I seen, you know, Trent Robertson speak, I think it was yesterday, just about, you know, acceptance. And, you know, we're probably not, I suppose, setting the right message for people, you know, who are afraid to, I suppose, come out and who were nervous and whatnot. And another thing I did see that I did agree with was Corey Parker. Like, I think, Loz, in your life, you know, there's things that I believe in, but sometimes they're going to be put in front of you. And it doesn't mean if you're wearing it on your jersey that you believe in it. That's just what I think. Like, it doesn't mean, you know, for all those boys, if they were wearing it, I don't think that they have to, you know, agree with it or believe in it. But for me, it's, they're your boss. And, you know, if they wanted to do something like that. But I also, you know, I also do agree that for them, it is massive a part of the, you know, religion and faith is huge for people like that. And I can't understand that because I'm not massive on faith. But yeah, for me, I feel really bad for the Manly club. And Dez, I feel bad for Dez because I seen that speech and I know it was really hard for him, even though he nailed it. I actually messaged him and said, I thought he'd done really well. But yeah, it's just what it's come to. It's quite sad.
Yeah, two-pronged question here, Grubby. How will Dez handle this? And if there's anyone that can bring a group of players together, you would think it'd be him because he is a player's coach. But do you think after what's happened this week, there'll be a divide in the playing group?
Yeah, well, to answer your first question, Loz, I think he's the perfect man for the job. I know exactly what Dez will be doing this week at training. Dez is all for what the club have done. And he stated that he wasn't happy with the way they executed it. You know, so he's come out and said they've made a mistake in the way they've executed it. But at the same time, you know, and there's a few of the guys there. There's Cherry Evans, there's the Forens that are happy to still wear the jersey. And, you know, they want what the Manly club did. But at the same time, I know Dez will be calling in the other side, the other boys, you know, that also aren't going to be playing for the jersey and just saying, look, boys, we totally back yous. It is a massive game. And you got to, I think the one thing that everyone's forgetting, it is a massive game because Manly are in the hunt for the eight, aren't they?
Yep.
So for Dez to let them, those boys not play, but also do that, I think he's done an exceptional job. I think he's, you know, I think they could come out the other side of it, Loz. I think this could be a possible turning point for them if I'm thinking how Dez used to be with us. But as you said, there could be a bit of a divide now because, yeah, it's massive, isn't it? Like, it's honestly, as you said, it's everywhere, Loz. Like, even over here, it is pretty big on the news. And I seen, I think it was one of the Penrith players say, you know, like, he got asked if, you know, what he would think would happen at their club. And I got an inkling of the way he sort of said it. I think it was Isaiah Yeo that if it did happen at their club, there'd be a divide too. So, for me, Loz, I'm not exactly sure, you know, the way around it, but it is a very, very sticky situation, you know, for, I suppose, the NRL moving forward because, you know, they don't really want to, I suppose, pick sides and, you know, get into that, you know, I suppose, arguing over whether we should do it or not.
Okay, if you were on the field for the Tigers at the end of that Tigers-Cowboys game last week, what would describe the blow-up you would have had?
Oh, do you know what, Mido, though? Can I say something? And look, I'm a good mate. I wouldn't say good mate, but I played a bit with AJ, the guy who done it. And Kapoa. I'm telling you, there was a little bit of something in his movement, coming from a gamesman who's done a couple of little things like that. I seen a little bit in his movement, Mido, and he'd never admit it. He would never admit it, but his line was directly in front of Felt. But in saying that, it happens every single short kickoff. And Felt absolutely got the Academy Award and, you know, he's going to try and get it as, you know, I've got a couple in my time, as we just said, with the big Manly dive. But if I was on the Tigers team, I would have hit the roof, Mido. I think I might have given up. I would have said to the ref, mate, enough's enough. I'm done. It's just terrible. It was a poor call, and the way it all happened, and you know, I felt sorry for the Tigers because the first time they probably grinded out a win against a very, very good side, and yeah, I don't think it should have been a penalty. And then when Val nailed that goal, it just sunk it. It sunk me because I just, you know, obviously good mates to a few of the Tigers boys, and I just see what it meant to them because at the same time they're fuming and probably wanted to say whatever they were going to say to the ref.
Grubby, can I ask, mate, look, there's now been some discussions held around why do we need the bunker, or we just use the bunker for, you know, when tries are being scored, and there's talk about bringing another referee back into the game, having two referees on the park, and you've played, you know, with the video referee, and you've played under the two referee system. Do you think we need to go back to that? How do you think the technology should be used? What are your thoughts?
I think the bunker on the weekend, Loz, didn't work. Like let's face it. I think that was a poor call. But at the same time, I think the bunker's good in some areas. It was not the bunker, but it was over here. Pretty much similar thing in the Super League this week for Hull FC, one of their tries. And it took so long, Loz. It took probably about 5 minutes now looking at it. But it was a try, and one of the boys had grounded it. And you dead set, in normal time, slow time, nothing. There's no way you could have checked it. But with being the bunker and having that time and all those different angles and that bit of extra time, they eventually got it. They seen there was a little bit of grass between the lines. So for me, I like the bunker. I do. But then again, if they're going to come up with stinkers like that, when they've got all that time and all that, I suppose, you know, all those computers and all those screens, I suppose there is a question, you know, like whether we really do need them. But for me personally, I think the bunker's good. I think it's gotten a lot faster than what it was when it first came out. So yeah, for me, I'd keep it, Loz.
Two referees or one?
I suppose it just depends, Loz. When you got the two refs, I think it fastens up the ruck a lot more because you've obviously got a ref in there, right at the ruck, controlling the ruck, and then you've got a ref controlling the 10. At the same time, you know, there was problems, you know, with the two refs. And then when there was only one ref, you know, teams were sort of getting away with more ruck infringements and whatsoever. But for me, I like the two refs. I really did. Even though, you know, it's probably weird for me to say that because there's another ref on the field to be buying more penalties or be given six agains. But at least, you know, they're going to get the calls more right than not because there's two of them there looking after, you know, well, four of them really, because you've also got the two touches. So, you know, they tend to get it right most of the time.
Who is the favourite, do you think, to play Penrith in the grand final right now? When you look at the Cowboys, Sharks, Broncos, Storm, Bunnies and Eels, if you wanted to throw the Roosters in, who are currently in eighth, that's your top eight at the moment. Who do you think's best placed to play Penrith in the GF 6 weeks out from the finals?
Well, you know, this team that I'm going to say right now was probably, no, they were probably just in my eight at the start of the year. But the way the Broncos are playing right now, the way Reynolds is just controlling the games, and you know, you've got guys like Tessie New and Ezra Mann really stepping up to the plate, taking a bit of pressure off Reynolds when need be. You know, Paddy Carrigan just controlling the middle and doing the thing I find with the Broncos at the moment, you've obviously, you know, you've usually got a halves combination of 5'8" and a halfback. But in the Broncos, you've got the halfback in Reynolds is just doing all the kicking, you know, and coming up with some nice silky plays in the edges. Carrigan just controls the middle. He honestly does everything. There was I seen him. He mic'd up the other night on Fox. And he's talking the middle. I've never heard a forward talk like that before. Well, no, none of them I've played with. Oh well, James Graham spoke a lot, but I didn't understand him. But, but honestly, Mido, like hearing that type of, I suppose, smart logic in the ruck, and you know, I've got a. If he skips to me, that's massive. So. Then they've got some strikeout wide in Stag, and you know Corey Oates is finding his form back to where it was. So, if I was going to say anyone, Middle, I'd say the Broncos right now.
Yeah, I like the little 5'8", Ezra Mann.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Oh, he's going to be a good player. Mm. He's going to be a fantastic player. He's got good fast footwork, and he's dangerous when he runs the ball. He's a good partner for Adam Reynolds.
Perfect for Reynolds. You talk about a lot, Loz, the yin and yang with the 6 and 7, and they fit it perfectly.
He's going to be a wonderful player.
Big left foot step. I love it.
Any news for us, Josh? Coming home soon? You're getting to the Comm Games? You signed a six-year deal with, I don't know, the Dolphins yet? What's going on?
I have not signed a six-year deal with anyone, Mido, but I'll definitely let you know if I sign a six-year deal, because the team that do it are mental. But anyway.
When are you home?
It's my last night tonight. It's, what is it? It's about 9:30 at night. It's my last sleep in my little house in Hull. So I'm actually flying out tomorrow for my little 2-week Europe trip. Oh. I'm flying out to Greece tomorrow. So,
geez, you've had some holidays.
Oh, I haven't. I what? Oh, no.
Did you go there for a holiday, Kentucky tour, or did you go over there to play footy?
That is what you do.
Well, I did. Don't tell anyone, but I've told my partner I'm just going for a little relax, but I've actually booked a Kentucky tour. So it should be fun, but I'm going on a little trip. Mum's coming over to do a little trip with me, actually, so that'll be nice to enjoy that with her. And then, come back and probably just get on the ground, Loz, and probably go and suss out some avenues, hopefully, and because I actually like going to meet people and whatsoever. So, you'll be the first to know when I find out what's going on for next year, boys.
Well, I look forward to catching up with you, mate, when you get home.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Thank you.
See you, mate.
See you, boys.
Now, a scoreboard update, and in the cricket, that second test between Sri Lanka and Pakistan. Sri Lanka, after declaring their second innings at 8 for 360, have set Pakistan 508. To win the test match, and it stumps on day 4. They're 1 for 89, so very unlikely to make the 419 on the final day. You'd say that Pakistan almost certainly will be batting to save that test match on the final day. Sri Lanka pushing for victory, with Pakistan, of course, one up in the series after that win in game 1. There's a 20-20 on at the moment in Bristol between England and South Africa, and England posted 6 for 234. Jeez, from their 20 overs. And in response, South Africa making a pretty good fist of it. They're 5 for 171, but they need 64 off the last 4 overs, the last 24 balls there. Now, Johnny Bairstow, geez, in good form. 90 off 53 balls, he top scored. Moeen Ali, 52 off 18. 6 sixes. Gosh, this pitch must be just an absolute road. And Ngidi took 5 for 39 from his 4 overs. The big South African quick. And 62 off 22, a bloke called Tristan Stubbs playing 20-20 for South Africa. Not out at the moment. 62 off 22, a lazy 7 sixes. I mean, that is just... Imagine being... This is what I wonder with 2020 cricket, Lots. Like, if you're a kid now, watching bowlers just getting carded, why do you want to be a bowler?
Well, you just want to be a batsman, don't you?
Well, it's just rubbish. That is not a contest between bat and ball. That's rubbish to me. I know I sound like a grumpy old man. But that's not cricket. That is just, it's like the home run derby in baseball. Let's just see how far we can hit it.
Well, they make the pitches to suit the batsman.
I'm telling you, it's going to get tired very quickly. Well, we've seen it in the Big Bash.
Well, most people want to see a contest, don't they? Between bat and ball?
Well, that's what I do.
Or do you want to go to the cricket and just see sixes?
Absolutely want to see a contest. I love the ebbs and flows of cricket. That is the game. That's the thing. We're trying to turn cricket into, like, 100-ball cricket when you've got 11 players on each team. That's not a game of cricket.
Yeah, but...
That's a gimmick.
Well, the thing is, Mido, you and I might agree with this.
Yeah, well...
But they're always catering for the next generation. They're always catering for the younger crowd. And as I've always said with the T20, it's probably third for me when I rate them.
Oh,
it's Test cricket. I still like the one-day cricket. And T20 for me still hasn't grabbed me.
Mm.
You know, I'm still not as excited about a T20 game as some other people. But a lot of kids like the T20. And they like the, the music that goes with it and, all the... atmosphere that it creates and the balls going into the outfield and I don't know. They just love it. But it's not for me. I can watch it, but if I'm rating my cricket It's test match, one day, 220.
Well, you know what side of the fence I'm on. I'm with you 100%. How are you, Gowie?
Yeah, morning, fellas.
I see that the DP World Tour is allowing LIV players to play in co-sanctioned events. So this is good news for, well, the likes of Matt Jones. He can defend his Australian Open title.
Yeah, finally, Kenny won back in 2019, so no Australian Open for the last 2 years. But that's it is a good story for us, for sure. You know, whether Australia is the forgotten part of the world golf, and so is South Africa. You know, you've got Asia that just got popped up $400 odd million from the LIV Tour, and all the other tours around the world are taken care of, but not us. So pretty much stand alone, and we need our players to come back. And you know, as I've said before, the US Tour have basically ruined the Australian Tour at the summer of golf that we normally have, because they started a wraparound season back in 8-9 years ago now, which destroyed the, you know, the back end of our season to get all the players home. I remember when I played on tour, it was about 23 of us on the US Tour, and every single one of us had come home and play the Coolum Classic, the Kenin Challenge, the Australian Open, the Australian PGA Championships. But the players can't do that now because they stay and try to get enough money to get a leapfrog into the following season, or that season they start in, you know, November, which has just been ridiculous. So this is good news. It had to happen because we need, you know, the likes of Cam Smith and Lucas Herbert and Adam Scott. We need all those guys back here to help out, because they haven't been here for a couple of years.
And the US Tour, Gowie's made a decision on players for the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, they have, which is quite interesting. It's taken a long time because there's only two events to go. This week in the Rocket Mortgage, and the following week at the Wyndham, you know, for you to qualify for the top 70 players for the BMW. So for the three playoff events, those players who finish outside the 125, they head to the Korn Ferry Tour to the playoffs there, where they can get a card if they don't finish inside that. So taking that out, it actually helps players like Jason Day. He was 127. He's now into 119 to keep a card, and then, you know, gives him a bit of a push for the next 2 weeks. So expect him to play pretty hard for the next 2 weeks to move his way inside that that 70 mark.
Sounds like the last couple of weeks, though, Gowie, since the Open, that things have gone a little bit quiet on the LIV front. Does that mean they're cooking up something behind the scenes?
It has gone a little quiet because Norman hasn't been out in front with everything. And the PGA Tour, obviously, they've been quiet also. So the DP World Tour, they've allowed, you know, just with the Ian Poulter thing, they've allowed players to play. But it is all brewing. This week, the LIV Tour is back, and they're at Donald Trump's golf course up in New Jersey. So that'll be interesting. 48 players. Bubba Watson is believed to have moved over, so he won't be at this week.
Can you watch it on telly, mate? Is it broadcast? No, it's all online.
You've got to watch it on YouTube, or you can watch it on Facebook, I believe. So I think there's two places there. So that's the other interesting bit. Will they get a broadcaster at some time? Will they start their own? You'd imagine with the type of money, they could actually start their own network.
I suppose you wouldn't know, but is it popular, or is it getting people watching it?
It's not. No. It's not. So as much as they're standing out, the LIV guys are standing out, going, oh, it's great. It's, you know, we're growing the game of golf. Well, they're not actually growing the game of golf. They're getting different eyeballs to it because they've got some music. I think they'll rejig what they're doing, actually, for next year. The 54 hole, that's got to stay because it's actually attached to the LIV name. It's a Roman numeral for 54. So they'll stay that way, but they're going to have to make a cut at some time. They're probably going to have to stop the shotgun start because, you know, someone wins the event and they're starting on the fifth hole, so they finish on the fourth. It takes away the excitement of the game. So I think they'll rejig it, but they're here to stay for a few years anyway, so we'll wait and see what happens. And see what players, after the FedEx Cup is done, and the President's Cup, when the President's Cup's done, let's see who goes.
We've got a question from Sandra on the text line here, Gowie. Morning, guys. Can you please ask Paul how I can get my 9-year-old grandson lessons? I live near Blacktown. I have rung a few clubs and they don't accommodate young kids.
Oh, this is the beef of everything. And I'm in the process, actually, Sandra, at at trying to help junior golf because we need a bit of help. But I'd send straight to Thornlea Driving Range. That's one place that accommodates for young juniors and new starters to the game. But there is a number of golf clubs around that do it. But we don't do it enough. That is the entry into golf, and we need to, you know, bring new kids into the game, and we need to bring more women into the game of golf. And we've got enough golf courses to accommodate. So I would, if she's in the Blacktown area, I would head straight to Thornlea Driving Range. They've got a good little junior 8-week program up there that will be perfect. And then they can help her go to golf courses around the area that might have a really good junior program.
Oh, thanks for that, Gary. So Thornlea Driving Range there, Sandra. Surely that's a no-brainer. That's something. If this is difficult, I'm surprised at that. Like, surely this is exactly it. 9-year-old wants to play golf. Get him in or her in.
Yeah, let him in. It's unbelievable. It is the thorn in everybody's side. Yeah, from Jeff Ogilvie to Adam Scott is our junior golf program. They've got this My Golf that is just okay. It's not enough. Actually, there's a good one out at Liverpool too. Liverpool. Brent Dale out there, he does a really good junior program out there. So Liverpool would be your other golf course at this time.
So what have we got this weekend, Gary? What, the Rocket Mortgage Classic?
Yeah, the Rocket Mortgage Classic. This is Cam Davis, who is the Sydney sider out of Monash, who won last year. I'm sure he's getting sick of being called Cameron Smith. But Cam Davis, this was his win last year, and he played exceptionally well. He won in the playoff. I expect him to play well this week out of all the players, because he's had the last month, it's like a 6th, an 8th, a 10th. He's playing really well. So if you're a Cam Davis fan and you want to back him, go ahead. But I like Will Zalatoris. He hasn't won this year. This is the guy that keeps knocking on the door. He's second and third, and it's about time. And this golf course will suit him. Well, actually, every golf course suits him. And then I like Kevin Kisner. He's ran third here before. He's starting to play his way into some form. He's at $34. So not massive odds. But we have got 7 Aussies in there this week. And the interesting one is Adam Scott that's playing, and Jeff Ogilvie. So Jeff Ogilvie is coming out of a bit of a retirement to play a few events. And he's 46 years of age. So I guess he's getting to that time that if he wants to play the Champions Tour, he needs to start playing a little bit. So, but it's all a bit of a race these next couple of weeks for top 70 players. To move your way into that. So that will be interesting.
Okay, so Gowie's tips, Will Zalatoris to win $15 with Tab. His roughie, Kevin Kisner, who's a $34 chance, and he likes Adam Scott as his top Aussie, who's paying $29 to win the tournament and $2.75 second favourite in the top Aussie market behind Cam Davis, who's $2.50. Gowie, just a question without notice before you go. Someone rings you and goes, right, tomorrow we're going to go and play here. What's your favourite course in Australia to play at? If you just went tomorrow to play with a mate?
Peninsula Kingswood in Melbourne. Melbourne are just so lucky. But with how bad a weather, though, they've got the best golf courses in the world. We're not that fortunate in Sydney. We've got the Australian, standout ones that you say are world-class. We've got a lot of good golf courses, but not great. So New South Wales, the Australian, they're exceptional golf courses. So we just don't have enough in Sydney, and there's not enough in Brisbane either. But if you go to Melbourne or Adelaide, they are the best-kept secrets, because there's Peninsula Kingswood, Metro, obviously Royal Melbourne, Victoria Golf Course. You just keep going. It's just ridiculous. But they have bad weather down there, so they can't play much golf.
Oh, yeah. I'm just looking on their website. It does look immaculate course.
Jeez, anyone that good. Loves their golf, if you want to have a treat, and I've got no attachment to Peninsula Kingswood at all, but they've got 36 hole facility, and it is just amazing.
Yeah, okay. Is it members only or?
You can get in there. Okay. In groups. They've got 36 holes. They've actually got accommodation on the golf course. It's, incredible. Actually, it's Ogilvie and his group that they redid that golf course about 5 or 6 years ago, and it has just come up beautiful.
Oof, yeah, it looks good. Gary, thanks so much, mate.
Thanks, fellas.
With the cooler weather arriving, get into Totally Workwear Rydalmere for all your winter workwear gear. We stock the best brands like King G Hard Jacket, FXD and Steel Blue. Plus, check out the new Fuse Workwear by King G. Does your business workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. Your winter workwear one-stop shop.
And just off the back of that chat with Gowie before, Brett from Richmond, tell the kids go to Richmond Golf Club. So if you're looking to get your kids into golf, he told us Thornley Driving Range, Brett of Richmond, Richmond Golf Club. And by the way, Scott from Bris Vegas on the Live Tour. Boys, even this old dog has worked out how to watch Live. Just go to your Fox IQ box or smart TV, bring up YouTube and search Live, and you are watching no ads and free. It's a great watch, non-stop golf, and produced really well. And there are plenty of people watching it, says Scott at Bris Vegas. So go to YouTube on the Fox IQ box or smart TV and just search Live. Adam Pengilly, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, Loz.
Well, it's a matter of time before they get a broadcast deal, that's for sure.
Yeah, surely it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I suppose they need to get a bit of traction, I suppose, in the market first. But I've watched a little bit of the broadcast on YouTube, and it's different, if I can put it in those terms. The way they do the broadcast, the graphics annoy me. Have you seen the graphics, Jared?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, they have this leaderboard down the left-hand side of the screen. It's these big, massive graphics. And I'm like, well, I just want to watch the actual what's going on.
Oh, like they do for the supercars.
Yes, yeah, a bit similar to that, but a lot more in your face, if I can put it in those terms.
Well, that's annoying.
But I will say the shotgun start and the way they do the broadcast makes it like really rapid fire. They're bouncing around everywhere, all over the course, from different players playing shots on, say, the second hole to the 15th hole, you know what I mean? Because they're all playing at the same time. So, it's interesting, if I'm putting those terms.
Now, in racing, the premiership winners are going to be crowned. We've got the last Metro Racing Day of the season on Saturday.
Yeah, well, usually in July, Jared, we chat all about the premierships, don't we? There's usually a battle for, you know, maybe a jockey's premiership or not so much a trainer's premiership in Sydney for the last probably 10 years with Chris Wallace so dominant. But hasn't sort of been the case this year. Chris obviously stitched up the trainer's premiership a long time ago. James McDonald has barely ridden in Sydney for the last 2 months as a runaway leader of the jockey's premiership, racking up more than 100 wins already. But the apprentice premiership's probably the one where a lot of the focus has been, and Tyler Shiller's going to get the job and get over the line there on the weekend. He's had a great season, obviously coming out of the Mark Newnham school there. He's just the modern-day Theo Green, isn't he? Mark Newnham just tutoring all these apprentices. So those guys will be crowned as the champions in their respective categories on the weekend, and we'll get ready for the new season in 2022-23 from next week.
How did Naval Warfare turn the tables yesterday, Adam?
Oh, I have no idea, Loz. No idea whatsoever, but that's just racing, isn't it? Like, he was in that bizarre two-horse race with the Milky Bar Kid a couple of weeks ago at Warwick Farm. He looked like he could barely pick up his feet and got beaten 5 or 6 lengths. And then, lo and behold, comes out there yesterday and beats them, and beats them quite convincingly. So he put 7 lengths on the Milky Bar Kid in third, about 11 or 12 length turnaround in the space for a couple of weeks. And he's back in the game. So he's been a good old horse for many, many years. I'm sure Chris Wall had him for a while, and now Ron Lehman's taking him over and trying to get him back to his best racing, and maybe just a little bit more fitness on his side there, but that's what racing is all about. You never know what's going to happen when you step on a racetrack.
I saw that Gay Waterhouse is over at Glorious Goodwood, and her and Adrian Bott have a runner.
Yeah, very keen to see what's going to happen tonight, Jared, in the Group 3 Gordon Stakes at Goodwood. There's big raps on this horse called Huya Mal, who Gay hasn't officially taken over the training of yet, but she's over there basically overseeing its preparation before it comes down to Australia. It's been targeted as one of these big imports coming down for the Melbourne Cup later this year. Obviously a runner-up in the Epsom Derby earlier this year, so he's got the form on the board. And very keen to see how he goes tonight at Goodwood. Obviously, all roads are sort of leading towards Melbourne now. Well, those staying horses from Europe, we saw Stradivarius. He obviously won't be down here, but he was great in that Goodwood Cup, and we'll have one more run, according to his owner, after finishing second in that race, trying to win it for the 5th time. But very keen to see what Huya Mal does. We spoke about last year saying that the race probably lacked a little bit of depth last year without the influx of the Europeans coming down. I think this horse is going to be right near the top of betting markets for a long time heading towards the Melbourne Cup.
Gee, I was just having a look as well. I know we've gone past the premierships, but and James McDonald obviously is going to be short heading into the new season. But in Brisbane, James Orman opened $15 and won the premiership. And in Melbourne, Jai McNeil opened $26 and won.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it, Jared? Especially considering, well, I suppose, I don't want to bring it up again, but that whole Airbnb scandal caused major eruptions.
I'd forgotten about that.
caused major eruptions for the Melbourne premiership. I think Jamie Carl's only about 20 wins behind Jai McNeil, and she missed the best part of 3 or 4 months of riding. So I think it would have been fair to say if she was available for the whole season, she probably would have won the Melbourne Jockeys Premiership. Fair. And well done to James Orman as well. He's had a great year up there in Brisbane. And I was just looking at the Sydney Premiership last night, just back on it again for a sec, Jared, and Nashua Willow's had a pretty good year. He's ridden almost 50 winners in Sydney, but he's had, you know, basically half the amount of rides as James McDonald. His strike rate is incredible, Nash. It's up around the 20% mark. And if he can just keep himself in the saddle in terms of suspensions and everything like that. And obviously, he battles a little bit with his weight, so he probably doesn't get the full catchment of rides that some other riders get. He could be a real threat, but it's obviously hard for Nash to stay in the saddle and pick up as many rides as a guy like J-Mac does.
And before you go, mate, what are you expecting at Brookvale Oval tonight?
Yeah, I was thinking about it last night, Loz. I think Roosters will win. I think they'll win pretty comfortably. I don't think it'll be the runaway 30 or 40-point win like a lot of people are expecting. I expect them to win maybe about 14, 16 points, something like that. I think Manly will bring a lot of energy in the first 20 minutes. They'll have to, won't they, if there's any chance at winning this game. He's still got their spine. Their spine is still, you know, pretty decent. It's close to their first-choice spine without Tom Trbojevic, of course. But, I think the Roosters will win. They have too much class on the edges, I'd imagine, and probably win by around that sort of 2 to 3 try margin.
Thank you so much, mate.
See you, boys.